The poor merchants standing afar. No one is buying their cargo anymore. No, and one of the pieces of cargo was ginger. And I said I was going to talk about ginger. Yes, I'm going to talk about ginger. Hi, this is Martin Zender, and I'm making sense for a living here in my laundry room studio in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It's ginger or Marianne. That's the big argument. And this is important. The two castaways on Gilligan's Island. We're not going to include Mrs. Howell in this consideration because she's married to Thurston Howell the Third, so she's taken. So the men and boys of my era, we argued about which was the most desirable single woman on Gilligan's Island. Was it Marianne or was it Ginger? Ginger. This is what spiked me here. This is what sent me off remembering this great pair of women on Gilligan's Island. It's a shame. It's a shame, really, that they were both cast away. It ruined their prospects because, listen, all they had to choose from was the professor and skipper and Gilligan. Again, Thurston being taken. And I would think that between the professor, Gilligan and skipper, that the professor would be the most eligible bachelor. And my sister Kelly has confessed to me that she had a thing for the professor. Hi, Kelly. Sorry. I hope that's okay that I tell the world about this thing of yours. But don't worry, because I'm about to confess to the world that in the day, I thought Ginger was all that. I really did. I like the va-va-boom fashionista types, you know. And Ginger certainly fit that bill. And she always wore those slinky, form-fitting dresses, which was an odd thing to wear on an island. But it worked for me. It worked for lots of other guys. But then in later years, I came to see the worth of Marianne. I mean, the value of Marianne, the stupendous being that we call Marianne. It's kind of like how in my Three Stooges days, I used to love Curly, but then I graduated to Shemp, and I realized what a genius Shemp was. Not that Curly isn't, but I think with maturity came an appreciation for Shemp. It takes maturity. It takes a walk with the Lord for several years. I think that same maturity brought me to an appreciation of Marianne, the girl next door, and those cute little cut-off shirts and that little blouse that tied a little nice little knot there right above her belly button. But back in the day, in those days of television, she couldn't show her bare skin. So they had to bring up the waistband of her pants directly up to her blouse. I know these things. I've studied these things. Very important to me, like scripture. So today's the day at the end of the week that I'm going to tell you what all these things are. The gold, the silver, the precious stones, the pearls, the cambric, the purple, the silk, the scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every ivory utensil, every utensil of most valuable wood, and of copper, of iron, and of marble, including also cinnamon and ginger, and incenses and adder. It's, yeah, okay, I told you I was going to look this up, and I have. It's not attar. I wish it was, because that's more exotic, but it's adder. And in fact, I'm going to have the lady from dictionary.com pronounce it for you. I hope you can hear it. Here it is. Here it is. Listen to this.
Adder.
Say it again, please.
Adder.
Again.
Adder. Adder. Adder.
Yeah, do you hear that?
Adder. Adder.
All right, already. It's adder. What is adder? It's a perfume or essential oil obtained from flowers or petals. It's also called adder of roses. It's rose oil. Can you imagine now? People have taken grapes and crushed them, but apparently people are so clever that they take rose petals, which are the most delicate thing. If you were to define delicacy, I don't think you could do much better besides Marianne than to say rose petals. And then to take those rose petals and to have the ingenuity and the dream, the desire, the vision to crush them and create an oil that could then be used to anoint. I don't know, women might put it behind their ear. What would men do with it? Put it between their big toe and their second toe. Something bad, something crazy, something wrong. But that's adder. What is it? I'm going to tell you in a minute here. Let's go back through the list in case you forgot from yesterday. Adder, frankincense, we know what that is. It's a valuable spice. I guess I don't know what it is. Is it a perfume or a spice? One of the three wise guys brought it to Jesus a few months after he was born. The three wise guys weren't at the crash. They weren't at the cradle. At the cow trough, sorry. That's religious fiction. Sheep, horses, coaches, bodies, human souls. All right, this is what all this stuff means. It means exactly what it says. This is what it is. The merchants have traded things to Babylon. Babylon has become a wealthy city, one of the wealthiest on earth, where the citizens can indulge their every desire. And I told you, the downfall of every individual person and of every nation has to do with wanting stuff and wanting power. Those two things. The money only buys you the stuff or the power, so the money's incidental. The love of money, people don't love money because they like to hold paper. They love money because of what it gets them. They love it because they can barter it. They can trade it for cargo. Here, John's using the word cargo. I use the word stuff. It's the same thing. And when you know a very wealthy person and you want to buy them a birthday present, and you go, man, what do I buy this person? And the question is always, what do you give to a person who has everything? There you go. What do you give to a person who has everything? So here are these citizens of Babylon. What do you give them when they have everything? Give them adder. Give them something made of ivory. Give them every kind of citron wood. Oh, they had a boat show. I'm telling you, this stuff's literal. All right? It's literal. There was a boat show here in Fort Lauderdale 2 weeks ago. And they had yachts. This is the yachting capital of, if not the world, then for sure the United States. This is the yachting capital. There were no three-hour tours here, folks. These people take these yachts across the Atlantic, through the Caribbean, you name it. These yachts are amazing. And they had these yachts on display. And they had little, plates in front of the yacht, explaining the yacht, telling about the yacht. And the price tag was on the yacht. And there were yachts there. The price tag was, listen to this, one yacht was $34 million. $34 million. And so a lot of people that stay at this house, they're in the yachting industry and they come here. Well, this one young gentleman came here from Great Britain and he worked on a yacht called the EOS, E-O-S. It was the largest yacht on the seven seas. It was a 300-foot yacht, which is insane. That's the size of a football field. But anyway, one of his jobs was to polish things. And when I saw these yachts that were for sale for only $34 million, one was a discount. It was like $31.9 million. I saw these yachts. The one thing I noticed was the wood. I don't know if it was citron wood. I don't even know what citron wood is. But I'm saying that these woods are so fine. They're polished to a blinding gleam. And they're hard. They're hardwood. And I look at other things in this list. Marble. These yachts are overlaid with marble. I mean, we've been talking about Donald Trump. He has gold-plated stuff on his jet, his airplane. No doubt the guy has a yacht. I saw Steven Spielberg's yacht here over the Intercoastal Bridge here on 17th Street. That was pointed out to me by my friend from Great Britain who was here, who's working on the yachts. He said that on the this is interesting. When he visited here for the second time, he stayed here for a couple days. His name was Craig, and probably still is Craig. Young guy in his 20s. 26, 27. He told me that three passengers had come aboard the EOS. He helped them on the boat. It was Paul McCartney, Tom Hanks, and Steve Martin. Steve Martin seems the odd man out there, but hey, I'm good. I like Steve Martin. But Tom Hanks and Paul McCartney helped them on the boat. Oh, thanks for helping me on the boat. Yeah, it was Paul. Thanks for helping me on the boat, Craigie. Anyway, that was the EOS. So there are rich people in the world, incredibly rich people. I don't know how they get their money, but they get it. And the wood is unbelievable. So look, what I'm telling you is people love some of this stuff. You and I are looking at this and going, ivory? Ginger, incenses, attar. Yeah, wine and oil, we can dig that. I'm looking at that here in verse 13. Wine, yes, we're all familiar with wine and oil, right? I've been promoting coconut oil. I put olive oil on my popcorn and on my salad. Flour, certainly, certainly. Those of us who eat any sort of bread, we consume flour and grain, all right? And beasts, many of us have beasts. We have a beast here at my home named Holly, who sometimes barks during my broadcasts, but is giving me a mercy today by not barking. But the beasts, there are exotic beasts that people own. People own minks, and people own beasts just for entertainment purposes. Solomon had apes shipped to him. I think the Queen of Sheba brought him some apes when she came from Sheba land to Jerusalem to visit King Solomon. People loved animals. They brought wild animals from all over the world to Solomon. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. So people love beasts and they trade in beasts. And there are exotic beasts like iguanas and lizards and snakes. I'm not doubting that there are some snakes that probably cost millions of dollars that people just want to have because it's there. So don't make fun of beasts, please. Don't say, oh, how can that be literal? Martin, ivory utensils. You know, people trade in rhinoceros horns too. That's not ivory. Yes, it is ivory. Is ivory made of what? What the hell is ivory made out of? Hang on a second. Why don't I know this? Ivory. Is it necessarily? Okay, the hard white substance, a variety of dentin, composing the main part of the tusks of the elephant, walrus, etc. Sure, that's what I thought. The substance, when taken from a dead animal and used to make carvings, billiard balls, etc. So ivory and beasts go hand in hand. They love the ivory. They want the ivory. Some people say it's an aphrodisiac. You take a rhinoceros horn. You shave it. You get a cheese grater. You grate it up and you sprinkle it on your oatmeal with a little bit of flax oil seed and you become a sexual dynamo. You become a love machine. For all I know, you become Valentino or Austin Powers. It's fantastic love. Yeah, or not Dr. Evil. $1 million. No, not Dr. Evil, but definitely Austin Powers. It's the bee's knees. This stuff's real. Everybody wants it. I mean, the first stuff is obvious. Gold, silver, precious stones. Everybody wants that stuff, and the rich people have it. I saw the Hope Diamond at the Smithsonian Museum. People love this stuff. And so why do you need to make this stuff figurative? Oh, Martin, what does the gold represent? Nothing. It's gold. What does the silver represent? Nothing. It's silver. It's a valuable thing, and these people want stuff, and they want shiny stuff. You know, the Spaniards came down into Cusco, the modern city of Cusco in Peru in the 1400s or whatever, and they're standing atop a hill overlooking Cusco. Cusco is at 11,000 feet above sea level. Don't know how many meters. Sorry about all you folks in Europe. And they saw the city gleaming. This was the capital of the Incas, and it was gleaming because it was overlaid with gold. And the Spaniards sacked it because they were rude bastards, and they killed the Incas, but they never found the Machu Picchu because Machu Picchu was socked away in the mountains, and no one even found Machu Picchu for 500 years except a couple farmers. Some guy from New York went there in the 50s and said, "What's this?" And the people on the farm said, "It's Machu Picchu." And then he went into Machu Picchu. It was covered with vines and overgrowth and mosses, but even then it was phenomenally fantastic when he saw it, and it took his breath away. He cleared all the moss, cleared the vines, cleared, and what was revealed was this amazing lost civilization of the Incas. But the Spanish saw Cusco gleaming in the sun, and they sacked it because people are mesmerized by shiny things. You know the cartoon, the animated cartoon, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. What does the snowman sing of? Silver and gold, everyone wishes for silver and gold. And then he has that little thing that he turns it and it glows and everybody is mesmerized by this stuff. So don't feel that this stuff has to be representative of something else. We're not explaining God's explanations. Why wouldn't it be silver and gold, cambric and purple? That's the stuff people wear. Who wears cambric and purple? Well, the priests of Israel did. And that stuff is valuable as hell. And people want it. I don't know why, but the people in Babylon will really want it. We know there's going to be a false temple coming in Jerusalem. And that they're going to have to bring these priestly garments back. And they're going to use the real deal. And who knows but that this stuff comes through Babylon to Jerusalem. Who knows that Babylon is a buyer and then sells this purple and cambric to Jerusalem. People who read this stuff and go, oh, poo-poo. Oh, poo-poo. It's not literal because I don't understand why anybody would need cambric and purple. It doesn't matter if you understand it or not. I don't care if you understand it. And neither does anyone else. How about we just believe what God says? This stuff's going to be needed. And sheep, as mentioned, sheep. Who needs sheep, Martin? Somebody needs sheep. They're killing sheep in Jerusalem, maybe, for the false sacrifices. I don't know. I don't have to figure it out. I just have to believe it. I don't have to figure it out. Horses. Horses are still valuable today. It's so antiquated. Why aren't horses still valuable today? Maybe they're having horse races. No, I'm dead serious. Horses are worth millions of dollars. They race them, do they not? It's a billion-dollar industry, horse racing, right? The winner of the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont Stakes. Haven't had a Triple Crown winner in a while. And then human souls. People traffic in human souls. It's called slavery. There's such a thing as a sex trade, unfortunately. People are still bought and sold in this world, and it's sick, but it happens. So they're trafficking also in human souls. I didn't say any of this was nice. I just said it was reasonable, it was understandable, and it's literal.